Welcome, everyone.
Oh, I know it's an hour earlier than it's supposed to be, but come on now. Welcome, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. All right. And to all those watching online, we're glad that you're with us also. And if you're a guest who is with us today, this morning we want you to know, make sure you understand that we are for God and we are for you. Now we begin our journey to Easter today. It's here. Yeah. It's time to kick it off. Give us our Easter sermon series. And it's entitled, All Roads Lead to Here. And we are looking at five different roads, the road to Zion, the road to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, to Emmaus, and to Damascus. And that they all lead here. Not to Muhammad Christian Church. No. But they all lead to the cross, the sacrifice, the empty tomb, Easter. Specifically, they all lead to Jesus. And once your road has brought you to Jesus, well then, all journeys begin here. Your journey begins right there, once they've led you to Jesus. But there's an additional point I believe we need to grasp during this series, and it's one that God, he hit me with, and he hit me with it hard as I was been looking at the series and began preparations. And here's what God has hit me with. All roads do lead to Jesus, and if you accept him as your Savior and believe in him as your King, then a new journey will begin for you. But in all of that, don't overlook that you have come into the presence of God. God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, creator of everything. He is unchangeable, unshakable, and unstoppable. Nothing is ever impossible for him. He is the God of miracles. He is mighty and strong, faithful and true, and he still fights for people today. God is present everywhere. He is perfectly good, and he is unconditional love. And finally, he sent his son to die for me, to die for you. He did that so that I may be made right in his eyes, and I can have a personal relationship with him. He strengthens me. He holds me up with his righteous right hand, helping me navigate, the daily life. And the greatest part of it all is I can come into his presence. That God, the God of everything I just mentioned, I get to have a relationship with him. I can be in his presence. And we all can have that. We all can come into his presence when we begin our journey with Jesus. Even crazier is that on this journey, we're heading towards God's eternal presence. We'll get to spend eternity with him when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom. Yet, we go through day-to-day life without grabbing this amazing book, the Bible. We spend so much time on everything else that we don't take time to be in this book every day. And some of us don't take time to do it and hear from God every day. We don't always make time for prayer, to talk to God, to come into his presence and to hear what he has to say, to put on your heart. Or some people say they believe, but they show up in churches on Sunday with thoughts such as these. Boy, I sure hope they sing a song I like today. Or, I sure hope that pastor speaks about something I want to hear about. What? Seriously? Yes, it happens. It happens in churches all across America. Some show up so focused on themselves. When in reality, they should be so excited to show up to be with God's family, that we get together to praise God, and that we come into his presence. Every other one of those thoughts about what's going on at church, those should all just fade away in comparison to the fact that the Spirit of God is with us in this house. Amen? We have to stop thinking about or worrying about what we want. We have to break away from the world we live in, and we have to stop being about what this culture has created. selfie mode. Isn't it great the culture created that for us? Get the old camera, woo. You know, take the pictures. Woo, look where I'm at today. I'm at church. Woo. We're in selfie mold in this culture. But we have to get past ourselves. We really do. Kind of look at it this way. When I was a young lad, it's just a couple years ago, we'd go swimming at my Uncle Richard's house all the time. You know, 4, 5, 6 years old, we'd go swimming there in the pool. And I was content to just hang out in the shallow end. Didn't need the floaties then, right? That was great. I didn't need to sit there and worry about drowning in the deep end. I could just play and frolic and goof off and wrestle and do all the good things in the shallow end. But as time went on, my cousins started, you know, getting to do things like jump off the diving board. Woo! Jump off the side of the pool. And in those rare cases, Aunt Jeannie and Uncle Richard are here. Right? Jump off the garage into the pool, to the deep end of the pool. But I still hadn't learned how to swim. But I didn't want to. I was happy. I mean, I did want to kind of go off the diving board. The garage, yeah, sure, just to be a rebel. But I was happy in the shallow end. But I had to get over my fear. I had to get over what I wanted myself to get in the deep end and learn how to swim. And boy, once I did that, once I got over my fear, once I got over what I thought I wanted and learned how to swim, a whole new world opened up to me. It is the same thing for us in our relationship with God. We have to get past ourselves. We got to get out of the shallow end and just dipping our toes into the Bible and into prayer and just go all in on God's presence. That's what we're asked to do. And I believe if we do that and we cherish the daily fact that we can be in God's presence, our journey, and this is the cool part, our journey will change from being a consumerism Christian mentality to that of a disciple of Christ. Take hold of the fact that we can be close to God every day. I mean, can you fathom that? That's Adam and Eve, but Adam first, before they messed up for all of us, but before they did that, they hung out in the garden with God. God would come by and say, let's go for a walk.
No, God, I can't.
Could you imagine that? No, you went, right? You were in the presence of the most holy one, the God who created everything. And they went on walks together. And then they mess up. And then only a few lucky people actually get to be in the presence of God for a while. You know, Moses got to do it. How cool was that for him? And then as time went on, the priest got to go into the very inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, once a year. And if they did everything right during the year, they got to be in his presence. But if they didn't, oh, they were struck down. They died. But they took that chance because why? They were going to be in the presence of God. And now, because of what Jesus did for us, we get to go to God directly. And then what is inside us if we've accepted Christ, we've repented, we've said, no, I believe, and we've baptized. What do we have inside of us, everybody? The Holy, yes, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God himself is inside, is with us. If that doesn't get you excited, just go. Just go. Because that is incredible. That's where we're at as Christians today. God, he's leading us. He's leading us everywhere we go. If we listen, and when we realize this, when we realize we are in the presence of God, that's when our journey really begins. That's when it really gets started. And today we're talking about that journey on the road to Zion. Now the word Zion, Steph already went into Hebrews and got some scripture from there, but the word of Zion was used over 150 times in the Bible. The Zion of old, kind of Old Testament, was the place above all others where God manifested himself. for Christians and Jews, it alike. Zion is both the city of David and the city of God. It is a reminder of the promise to those who are faithful and trust in God. But Zion is also associated with establishing God's kingdom here on earth. It is seen as a place of righteousness, justice, and God's rule. It is where the very presence of God is, and it's sometimes used to express hope for the future reign of the Messiah, the physical kingdom which has come when Jesus returns to earth. And that's the context I want to use today when we're talking about the road to Zion. To be on this road to Zion means seeking after God's presence, to desire a relationship with Him, and yearn to be forgiven and accepted by God. People who travel on this road, they're fulfilling their purpose for being alive. And if you're on that road already, you are heading down the road towards God. You're not going away from Him. You're going towards Him. We are heading away from the evil actions, the craziness of the world, the choices and thoughts that are contrary to the will of the one true God. This road we are talking about this morning, it's also been called Heavenly Highway. If you like gospel music, the Holy Highway. In the Bible, you know, it talks about it as a holy highway. And we are on it today. And when we get to the end, we're going to reach our eternal home. That's a great road. Much better than 74, 57, 72, you name it. Much better road than any of those. So let's take a quick look at the four characteristics of this highway that many of us, I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure, are already on today. So we're going to go to Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for the one who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious animal go up on it. They will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with joyful shouting, and everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Oh, man, who's ready to go? That is exciting, right? Guess what? If you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, if you believe in Him, you've repented, baptized, you're following Him, you're on the road. You're on that road. We haven't got to the end yet, but you're on the road. You're on the journey. And the road to Zion, first off, is a holy way. The road is clean. It's reserved for those who have been redeemed and delivered from their sins. It is for those who have been made new in Jesus. We have been made righteous. We have received His righteousness when we believed Jesus as our Savior. And we needed that righteousness. We had to be made right in God's eyes so we could have that relationship, so we could receive the gift of eternal life. But it's not our righteousness we've received. It's Jesus. It's His righteousness. The man who led a perfect life, who willingly died on a cross for you and me, and then who kicked Satan in the butt and said, "I win," and He rose from the grave. Death has no power over Him. Oh, man. The Lord expects us, though, not to conform to His world, to Satan's world. He expects us to stay away from every kind of evil. Not always easy, is it? But that's what He expects from us. Those people who refuse to live a life of holiness will not be permitted to walk on the road to Zion. They can't even get on the road to Zion. Remember, the Lord never reduces His standard to match the weaknesses of His people. He raises His people to the height of His standards. And He did this for you, for me, by sending His Son to die for us. I'm glad He doesn't lower His standards. There's no one I want to be more like than Jesus. And I need to strive for that every day. You need to strive for that every day as we walk this journey on the road to Zion. But Zion is also a harmless way. If you prefer, I had to use harmless, and you'll understand why in a minute, but you can say a safe way. It's a safe way. It's the only safe place for believers in this world, to be quite honest. The lion and vicious animal from verse 10, they're not permitted on this road. As long as we stay on the road, we are safe from the attacks of the one who would seek to destroy us. No spiritual harm will come to us. But know this, we are all stalked. We are stalked by a violent enemy. Satan would love nothing better, according to the scripture, than to devour us. He can't touch me or you if we are on the road to Zion, though. If we're keeping our eyes on the end, if we're keeping our eyes on God, to quote MC Hammer, he can't touch us. He can't touch us, right? So we are in a safe place if we choose to stay on the road. If we get off the road, lose sight of our Savior, get distracted by the world, we then become vulnerable to Satan, to his attacks. Excuse me. But Pastor, why would I do that? This sounds like a pretty good place to be. Because our enemy is slick. And he's smart. He knows what to go after each of us with. Whatever is our, maybe it's a weakness or something we're prone to, or maybe something's gone on in your life and he sees it and he can find a way to get to you through that. But not if we stay in the presence of God. He can't get us. He can't harm us. We can stay spiritually safe. Remember this, when God is with you, you do not need to worry about the dangers that surround you, because the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? When you walk with God, the one who is in you, in our case, the Holy Spirit, he not only teaches you and guides you, but he also protects you. Because guess what? This journey is a tough, tough road. It's a tough way. The holy highway is not a path of ease or convenience. It's a path that is full of all kinds of trials and tribulations, a path that is fraught with challenges and obstacles. Anyone disagree with that? No, because life's rough. Thankfully, we are not left to navigate these twists and turns on our own. We are not left to stumble in the dark, or just even falter, because he is with us in the face of adversity. But folks, understand, there's something that we have to do too. He protects us, he guides us, but there's something we have to do along this journey. We have to do something because we face Satan every day as he attempts to derail us from this road, to get us, you know, to get us to fall right on off. We must put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So MCC, let's all suit up in God's armor. Let's get into the Word. Let's spend time in prayer. We can fight together on many, many things. We have Jesus' righteousness. Our breastplate of righteousness is his righteousness. There's nothing form can stand against God. We've got to wear that armor, wear it proudly. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit and hold on to the promise that staying on the road to Zion will keep us spiritually safe. We can take anything that's coming at us. But the road to Zion also is a home way. It's the road home. The road to Zion leads to glory. Sometimes the road is level and easy. At other times, it's rough and steep. Regardless of the path we are called to walk through this life, the holy highway leads his children home. There's a glorious city at the end of this road. There's a place of peace, joy, a blessing at the end of this road. We will meet the King face to face at the end of the road. Please, MCC family, stay on this road. Don't look for an exit ramp. run the race, because the road leads to eternal life. Remember what Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:18? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. If you've ever read Revelation, you've tried to understand what this kingdom is going to look like, what God's kingdom is going to look like. It's crazy how beautiful it's going to be. And that's using our words and our thoughts and things that we can understand. And that's the best we can get at this point. But when we see it really face to face, what we're going to receive, what we're going to see, it's going to be amazing. And right in the middle of it all is the presence of God. We're going to see Jesus face to face, which is also makes the road to Zion the happy way. The happy way. See, now you know why I had to use harmless instead of safe. I had to use all H's so you could take it home. You know, that's a preacher's trick, get you to use all, you can remember, all H's, the H's of the holy highway. The road can become difficult, we've already said that, and our strength will fade at times, but we must travel on with the joy in our souls, because we anticipate what awaits us at the end of the journey. We know the road is best, and the only way we rejoice is because we know what's at the end. Kaylee and Olivia, didn't know I was going to use you today, did you? Stand up, please. You don't have to come up here, just stand up. Two of our seniors. I use them because they were closer to the front. Coop and J4 are in the back. So two of our seniors, right? We got to meet this week. We got to sit down and talk for a few minutes. You guys are counting down the days, aren't you? Till it's all over. And you're going to make it through the rest of school because you know what awaits you in mid-May, don't you? The end of your public school careers. Look, aren't they so happy and excited? That's the exact joy we should have every day when we're on the road to Zion. Thank you, ladies. When we're on the road to Zion. That kind of happiness, except amp it up. Because it's great for them. High school's over. They're going to begin their careers. And then next year they'll be like, I just want to stay home with mom and dad. This is rough. But we'll never have that feeling. It's rough. But that hope at the end, the eternal life, spending eternity with God, with Jesus, that is so, so amazing. And that's why we need to have the joy every day we're on this road. And that's why it should be a joyous, joyous journey. The road to Zion is the best possible way. It's the only way, but it's the best possible way as well. Because when we travel along it, we experience His peace. We experience His presence, we experience His blessings, and His joy all on the journey. What an incredible road. But know this, and this is especially for some of you if you've not yet accepted Christ and you don't know Him as your Savior, there is only one way to get on the road to Zion. There is only one on-ramp to the road to Zion, and it's labeled Jesus the Messiah. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through who? Me. Me being Jesus. The unclean shall not walk on the road, only those who are redeemed, those who have received salvation by accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I've heard people say, all I need to do is live a good life. If I do my best, it should be good enough for me. Friends, that's a deception from the devil. To our holy God, even what we would call the tiniest, smallest of sin is big enough to separate us from Him. No sin can enter His presence. Therefore, Jesus had to come and make a way for us, had to give us an on-ramp to this road. Without Him, we would have been lost forever. And there are two roads you can take. You can take the road to Zion, eternal, which leads to eternal life, or you can stay on the road to destruction and death. Which road will you take? Will you accept Jesus? Will you take the only on-ramp to jump onto the road of Zion? If you've already chosen the road to Zion, you're made new. How cool is that? You've received the grace of God. You have received the Holy Spirit inside you. You are in the presence of God, and He is with you on the road. which is leading to the single greatest hope, the greatest promise any of us could ever receive. The return of his son and the establishment of his physical kingdom. Eternity with him, eternal life. As disciples of Christ, hold on to this today. On the road to Zion, we are traveling to God's eternal presence. And we are expected to invite any person not on the road to join us. We are expected to be disciples. Family, do you want to get to Zion? I'm not feeling that. Do you want to reach God's kingdom, eternal life, spend eternity with him in his presence?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Do you yearn to be in God's eternal presence?
Yes.
Then live your life like he is everything. Share him with others and make time every single day to be in his word, to be in prayer, to be in his presence. Let's pray.